Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 157 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. Both Chris and I are now back from the Arizona Fall League and First Pitch Arizona. Shout out to Brent and Ray and Ron Chandler and all the good folks over at Baseball HQ for another wonderful event. It was a fun time out there, seeing some live baseball at the Fall League, which we'll be talking about today. Seeing all the good panels and podcasts and just chatting with baseball with all of our good industry friends. So shout out to Baseball HQ. And if you can get out there next year, definitely recommend it. As I mentioned, we're going to be breaking down the all of our live looks from the Arizona Fall League, including little Matt Mervis, Jordan Walker, and plenty of others. And with me, of course, my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how are you adjusting from going East Coast to West Coast, now back to East Coast?
I'm still so tired. It's ridiculous, but we're here. It's like 24 straight hours awake last Wednesday, and now it's Tuesday, and I still feel like I'm just like drained because, you know, we flew out early Wednesday morning, got there early Wednesday West Coast time, and then spent all day awake and then went to bed late. There's always people to hang out with and all that good stuff. And then going back on, I flew back Saturday night, flew back Sunday night, but both red eye flights and no sleep. And then, get back up and get at it again. And it's just like, I can't adjust. I'm like trying to get back to a normal schedule and I just can't, but it was worth it. It's certainly, I would advise this worth going, even though I'm complaining about the sleep, you know, that you can always sleep later, but you know, the friendships, the games, all that good stuff, you'll never be able to have unless you go. So I would definitely recommend going and having a good time at First Pitch and the AFL.
I think we never fully caught up from that first day. Like you mentioned how we were like 24, 25 hours without, you know, sleeping. I don't think we caught up from that. And I think it was just that trickle down effect that kept carrying over. And now even though we're both back home in Maine and South Carolina, respectively, we're still paying for it. I'm sure we'll get, maybe this weekend we can sleep in a little bit and get caught up. But
I feel like next year I need to go out on Monday and Tuesday and just adjust to the,
I know,
like literally just go to games. Nobody will be out there and just adjust to the time change and go to sleep like right after we get back from the 6:35 game and then adjust and then be good when everybody starts getting out on Wednesday, Thursday.
Right. We won't feel bad about going to bed early if, you know, nobody's out there to talk
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was a blast being out there. You know, if you go out there, recommend going to the Hen House, which is where Chris and I go every time. Breakfast place has huge portions, very good food. But enough talking about, Hen House is very good and worth discussing. But
yeah,
let's talk about some AFL today. But before we do, the usual housekeeping out of the way here. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm Eric Cross 04. Our show is at Fantrax Toolshed, which we have a lot of video up there and on our YouTube as well. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Fantrax Toolshed. A lot of good stuff going on over there. And of course, check out all the great stuff going on over at Fantrax and Fantrax HQ. 2023 leagues are already open, and we get a lot of good content on HQ as well. So go check that out. We're going to divide this episode up, National League and American League. Figure that was probably the easiest. Let's start with the American League and Edward Julian, who was very impressive, you know, in general, though we were making jokes about how many swings per at bat he would have. And usually the over under was like 1.5 because he just wouldn't swing. That's the thing with Julian. He does not swing at a pitch he doesn't like and is very good pitch recognition. But it's gotten to the point where, Chris, is it possible that he's going to be into that, you know, too passive category and that's going to hurt him a little bit?
Probably. You know, it reminds me a lot of Nolan Jones. Like, Nolan Jones really hurt himself as a prospect just because he didn't swing. And that was kind of his downfall. And, you know, who knows what he'll end up being. Julian's interesting, I think. And we saw he was in the home run derby, and he just didn't have the power that many others had that were in the derby. So that was a bit concerning, too, that we didn't really see the power. I definitely want to see more out of him than I did in games, because we probably saw him as much as anybody else, like as far as, you know, just a game standpoint. Like, I feel like probably saw him at least every day. And he just, while not unimpressive, just didn't do anything to impress because he didn't swing the bat enough. And like, not an exaggeration or a joke, that he legit probably swung like one time per at bat. And that's just kind of crazy to think about. But I'm into an extent, but I'm not going to go crazy with him. And I'd also advise, like, you know, there was a lot of people out there at the AFL, at least for First Pitch. There was a lot of video going out. There was a lot of takes on players. But I think the best thing that we can do from the AFL is not, you know, overreact too much. You know, at best, we were there Wednesday through Sunday, and we at best saw these guys four games. So the best thing we can do is to not overreact. And I think it's a lot more a confirmation bias. Like, I went in looking for something from Nick York, and we'll talk about him. And I'm not really sure that I got what I was looking for. So in a way, confirmation bias. Matt Mervis got a little confirmation bias of what I wanted to see from him. But there's a lot of other players, too, that are going to be in my rankings next time that weren't previously ranked. But it's not like they're going to be huge swings. Like, I'm not going to put somebody that was unranked inside my, like, top 200 or 150. Like, I would advise not to overreact. And, like, one that I think people are going to overreact to is Carson Wisenhunt. And we can talk about him in a little bit. But anyway, my little tangent, don't overreact to the little bit you saw from a small sample of games. I think the larger body of work over the full season is still the most important thing, while the AFL does provide some confirmation bias.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was good to get some live looks at these guys, and with Julian especially. Yeah, so he's one of the more impressive hitters out there. You just look at the, you know, all the stats he has this, you know, out there. Slash line looks great, power, a little bit of speed, but obviously the OBP is phenomenal. But yeah, I'm just seeing how passive he was. And we were joking that he was going to take a walk during the Home Run Derby. Like, that's how passive he is.
He literally did. I mean, like, he would have. They got 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and he was taking pitches. Like, what are you doing?
I know. There's no, like, bonus points for having a higher percentage of swings become home runs. Like you swing, dude. Like, even if you don't make good contact, it's better than no swing at all. So, yeah, I mean, I like Julian a lot. And, you know, there's some platoon splits there. You know, this year he was really rough against lefties. Last year, not as bad. So hopefully that's not a thing that pushes him into like a strong side platoon thing or anything like that. But yeah, I bumped Julian up a good amount. I'm going to bump him down a little bit from where I moved him up to. Again, I don't make massive jumps or, you know, decreases in my rankings because of this. But it has me wondering if he just falls into that better. And I can't even say better real life player because he's not really that good defensively. Like, he's a good real life bat for Minnesota. And I think he could definitely have some value even as a strong set platoon guy, but is that going to translate into a lot of fantasy value? I don't know. He's still top 100 for me, absolutely. But I was going to be putting him top 50. Maybe I'll move him down to like 60 or 70 range. I'm not sure he's quite top 50 with how passive he is, but maybe he starts showing a little bit more aggression. And you know, he's got decent power. It's not like he's got no power, but he's just not like a home run derby type guy. That's for
right.
sure. But
yeah. Weird. I think that's weird.
Yeah, that was a weird fit. So I think this is our takeaway from him. But someone that did have a very impressive home run derby, and he's had a very impressive AFL in general, is Heston Kjerstad. He lost to Robert Perez Jr. from Seattle in the finals by one home run. I think he might have actually had the most home runs hit total because he was doing pretty well in the first. He was the leader heading into the final rounds. So very good performance there. And overall, like I said, very impressive fall league showing. He's got 5 home runs and 9 doubles and 95 plate appearances out there. 371, 400, 663 slash line. K rate's a little high, but you know, just good to see him get those reps in. Not surprised he's out there, obviously, with all the time he missed through the myocarditis, something like that.
Myocarditis.
Thank you. I'm always like a little bit off. I know roughly what it is. That, what Chris said, the heart issue, let's put it that way. So, good to see him get out there. He did fairly well in season as well between low A and high A and doing well out in the Arizona Fall League. The power is for real. Like I said, there's a little bit of swing and miss to his game, but he was definitely one of the better performers I saw out there and had one of the better batting practices in the before the Fall Stars game as well. So very confident. I'm bumping him up a bit. I don't know about top 100 yet, but I think like top 125-ish range where I have him now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he was one of those confirmation bias guys that we wanted to see. So much missed time due to injuries and the myocarditis. Like, it was just a much needed thing for him. And he put on a show in the AFL. I mean, not in the AFL, but the Home Run Derby and the AFL too. And the numbers have been really good across the board. We saw him hit some really solid balls to all fields, especially on the Friday night game against Scottsdale. He was just peppering the ball to all fields. I think he ended up just a homer away from the cycle that night, which was a pretty impressive to see from him. Did he leg out a triple? He did, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he was straight hustling to get this triple, and he moved well, like for his size. Like, he impressed me going around the bases. Yeah, I've still got all the film on my camera. I've got to go back and go through. But yeah, he was one that impressed me and stood out probably as much as any hitter. Really liked the swing, got some good up-close looks at it, and he's one where I think could really pop off. Maybe he could even get some time with the Orioles this year. He'll be 24 in February, so you know, I know he hasn't played at super high level. He hadn't gone above high A, but you know, you never know if they're going to be aggressive with him or not, but he looks the part, and I think he is ready.
Yeah, I do think it'll be a quick rise. Like I said, he got low A, high A this past year. Got to assume he starts in double A this year, and you know, he might be up you know, second half of the season. I can definitely see that. And yeah, I still have high hopes for him. I think he can be a, you know, 260-ish type of bat. I think 30 home runs, like the power is easily plus. I won't say double plus, but easily plus. Gets good loft. Is that that natural swing path that generates loft very well. He's just a strong dude. Like when we were out there in the outfield, because yeah, Chris and I were out there chasing down home run balls. Didn't get one, but so we were going, I forget who was hitting before him, but it was a righty. Oh, was it, maybe it was Davison de los Santos.
Yeah.
Who I nicknamed Thighmaster, because if you look at Davison's thighs, they're the size of most people's like waist. Like his legs are huge. But anyway, so we were over in left field, obviously, for him, and he was in tanks. So then Kiersey comes up, we're hauling around center field to get over the, and we start, you know, if you ever seen Sloan Park, which is the spring training home for the Chicago Cubs, there's, you know, the hill out there in the outfield. So we start, like, we get into right field, we're kind of trotting down the hill kind of diagonally over towards the bullpen, and then he just starts hitting bombs over us.
Yeah.
And Chris, I mean, you ran back for one that was way back by that Hornitos tent.
It went out of the – it bounced out of the stadium. It hit the concrete and bounced out.
Oh, did it bounce full? Yeah, I lost sight of it, and then the people – I couldn't tell where it bounced.
Yeah, I was tracking it. I thought I was going to get it.
I thought you were too, man. You had a beat on. I was further down the hill, so you were kind of still a little bit further up the hill. So, yeah, you darted out there. I was like, I'm not even going to try for it at that point, but I thought you got – we're going to get it. But yeah, Kjerstad was hitting tanks, so – I think this could be a 30 home run bat. I don't know if he brings any speed, but, you know, solid three category guy that, you know, will have an average that won't kill you. So I think he's going to be definitely a good investment now. So I think the price is going to just go up next year. So I think it's going to be a nice year for him in 2023, that's for sure. Keeping it in the American League East here, one guy that I just wasn't impressed. Again, small sample size, take all this with a grain of salt. Don't make any big jumps, like Chris said, from this, but just from his showing in the games I was at and the batting practice, which is one of the more underwhelming ones I saw, that was Nick York. And, you know, I think we've both been, have been pretty big supporters of Nick York on the show over the last couple of years. I know you got some live looks at him earlier this year down there in Greenville. So I don't know. Like, I still think Nick York is a big leaguer. Like, I think he's going to have a, you know, 10 plus year career, but is it going to be one that's going to lead to a lot of fantasy value? I'm not sure. Like, the speed is, I think, going to be not a big part of his game. Maybe 5 to 8 steals, something like that. Maybe 12 to 15 home runs, and then average that won't kill you. But is he going to hit over 300? I mean, he's doing well out there in general. 342, 424, 526 line, 2 home runs, 8 doubles, and a steal. But I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if he's, should he be even top 100 right now, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, that's what I was talking about with several people out there. It's like, what does he actually project to be? And like, how does that translate to fantasy? It is pretty interesting. He made a pretty significant change to his swing and his stance while he's been out in the AFL. His hands are really high now, which is weird. And then he drops them down. Like, his hands are like above his head. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
He's narrowed the stance a bit, and it just looks different. He doesn't look as comfortable with that swing change. And you're right. Like, I saw him a ton in Greenville. He was in Greenville all year. And I know he spent time injured, sick. Like, he had a lot going against him. So I kind of gave him a pass, but.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't know. I'm just not comfortable with what I've seen. And like, what does he project like? I mean,
yeah.
To me, like, he's might be a 15 home run bat. And so if that's the case, then like, what are the steals at? And he's not the fastest. He doesn't run that well. So maybe 5 to 10 stolen bases. And then if you're projecting the high end of the hit tool, and yeah, so what York is good at it, like Julian is strike zone recognition. So he doesn't chase often out of the zone, but also he's not making like elite zone contact either. So maybe he's a 270 hitter. So you do the math, 270, 15, we'll give him 8 stolen bases. I just don't see that as a very valuable fantasy asset. So I'd get off of him if you could. I mean, maybe you want to buy low and take a chance. Like, I'm not opposed to it, but I'm selling if I can, to be honest.
I am too. And I heard comps from, you know, anywhere from Ty France. I don't know if maybe high end Ty France, but I don't even know if that's an outcome at this point with New York. I'm trying to be too negative. I still think I'm not saying he's bad. I don't think either of us are saying he's bad. He's still a decent prospect, but every time I look at him and just look at, you know, video and what I saw and just stats and everything, put it all together, I'm like, this is a top 100 guy. And I kind of think maybe he's a poor man's Jeff McNeil. I think that might be a possible outcome for him, but I don't know. Yeah. And you want to see, I got video up in my Twitter feed from batting practice to show you what Chris was talking about, how the hands are very high. They drops them down if you want to see that. But yeah, I had him 66 last update. Live rankings, I have 90 right now, but I'm looking at some of the next, you know, 15 to 20 names. I'm starting to think I'm going to move them down outside my top 100. So, yeah, it's definitely, I'm more out than in right now and not fully out. But, yeah, I would agree with Chris. If you can get, you know, a decent return for him right now for someone that still believes in Nick York being like a top 50 guy or something like that, I'd probably look to sell. Last name in the American League that we wanted to touch on, a guy that I am definitely in on. Actually, he put up one of the better performances in the, you know, batting practice session out there before the Fall Stars game. That's Aloysio Angel Acuña, who the announcers at the stadium could not say his last name right. They kept saying Acuña. I'm like, no, it's embarrassing. You know, it's, I know. You should. And I think they all get pronunciation guides too. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, obviously it's Acuña. We all know that. But yeah, he coming off a pretty good year between high A and double A. 277, 369, 426, 11 home runs and 40 steals. Only got caught 9 times. Out in the AFL, you know, the numbers don't do it justice. You're only getting 247. Yeah, he's got 2 home runs and 7 steals, 5 extra base hits total. But he was hitting some absolute tanks from the right side in batting practice. So he was putting them, I guess, 425, 430 out the left field. So, and we mentioned it on this podcast before, there's sneaky power here. He doesn't have Ronald's power, so don't go overboard here. But he also has a swing that is very reminiscent of Ronald, with the lower hand setup, kind of that loose, you know, setup that Ronald has, and got the speed, you know, solid enough. I think he's at least a 50 hit, maybe 55. We'll see how he develops. But I think there's a lot to like here. And if he continues kind of growing into that power and showing it more in games, maybe he's not more than like a 15 to 20 homer guy, but add that in. So what looks like probably, you know, 20 to 25 steals and a solid batting average, I think he's worth, you know, I think he's earned a spot in my top 50 overall. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah. And he's one that I definitely wanted to see. He was solid across the board. It was interesting. You know, if you go on his baseball reference page, it says Jose Acuña. And that was actually some of the players were calling him that. Like, you know, yep. If you're at the AFL, it's pretty quiet. Like, there's, you know, not a lot of people for most of the game. So, like, they would, like, he scored one time and they were like, way to go, Jose. I was like, okay, that's interesting. So, I don't know what his name is. I know his name's Luis Angel, but does he go by Jose? Not really
Jose,
sure.
Jose's his middle name for what it's worth. But yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some, you know, maybe his buddies call him Jose.
It's easier for them to say, I guess. So,
yeah, that is probably true. Yeah, Jose easier to say than Luis Angel. Lot less syllables.
Right. So he has struck out a decent bit out there, but I'm willing to give him a pass on that. Like I said, stats don't mean everything to me, but he was encouraging for the things I saw. You know, some good swings. He had some good line drives in the outfield. Wanted to see the power. Never really saw him like get to like big power, but some solid hits. So I really like the profile. You know, how projectable is he? I'm not sure. But we did see him hit 11 home runs this year, and he stole 40 bags. So even if you're talking about a 15 home run bat, you think he definitely is going to steal more bases than Nick York. And yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the batting average is that similar. I mean, maybe I'm a little high on Acuña's batting average, but I do think that Acuña could push like 265, 270, which is a solid batting average when you have some decent power and good speed like he does.
Yeah, I think if you look at just the bat, I think overall it could be very similar to York's, maybe even a touch above York's. I think there's maybe a touch more raw power potential with Acuña, but where the separation is the speed. Like, the speed is not going to be even close. And
right.
I might have even been on the, you know, more conservative side with that 20 to 25. Like, I could see a future where he's a 30 steal guy, or at least in that ballpark. And I think, like I said, I think York's under 10. I think we both agree with that. So
yep.
I think that's where the real separation in value is going to come from. And right now I have him 49 in my live rankings, is up from 73. In my last HQ update, he's right in a glob with, you know, Kyle Harris. So I don't want to mention pitchers. Kevin, he's right behind, a few spots behind Edward Julian, who I said probably got bumped down a little bit. Sal Frelick, George Valera, Kevin Alcantara, you know, Alexander Canario are got in that range as well. And he's still, you know, he's still fairly young. He's only about, you know, 20 and a half years old, got the AA. So, you know, makes his performance even more impressive, you know, down in the Texas League there this summer. Even though he did struggle when he got called up, you know, he only hit 224 in 37 games after hitting 317 in 54 games in High A Hickory. But yeah, I think he's a back end top 50 guy. And I think he's, even with the name Acuña, I think he's still a bit undervalued, because you look at, you know, the lower power and the home run totals in the minor leagues, and the fact that he hasn't really, you know, torn the cover off the ball like we mentioned out there in the AFL. I think there's still a decent buying opportunity right now in Dynasty League. So that's something I would definitely take advantage of for sure.
Yeah. And also the underrated aspect, his glove was incredible. He played
absolutely
incredible at shortstop, like just baffling some of the plays he made, which, while semi-irrelevant to fantasy, does give him a good boost of value because it gives him a higher floor to make the majors. And, you know, what I saw was really, really impressive. So I was a fan of everything I saw from Acuña.
I do wonder where he fits in, though, because Texas has that middle infield locked up for a bit. I don't remember.
Yeah.
What was Seager's? 7 year? 8 year?
I think Seager was 10 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was 10. Now, Semien was the one that was, but still, they have both, and, you know, maybe they move off eventually, but I don't think a move off of, you know, middle infield is imminent for either Semien or Seager. They get young at third now. I mean, there's still some time to figure that out, but maybe, oh, I could see him being in a kind of a trade to get some pitching. That's what they really need. Like, their lineup is, you know, pretty solid. You know, we'll be adding Young to it. You know, Lowe took a step forward as well, as we saw last year. So the lineup's pretty solid, but the pitching staff is still massive question marks. Maybe they use Acuña as a package to get a solid arm.
I could see that.
Yeah. And that would be helpful. Get him into a spot where as an easier path to playing time. You know, he's a guy that, obviously, like Chris mentioned, defense is very solid. He's got the glove. He's got good footwork, got the range. So he's definitely a guy that could play short for, you know, many, many years in the major league. So we'll see. But maybe he's got a name to keep an eye on here in the trade rumors this offseason. We'll see. But all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break to get a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Support for Fantrax Toolshed is brought to you by Manscaped, who's best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping using the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com. It's time to get some new tools for your shed and take your grooming game to the next level. The Performance 4.0 package has arrived by Manscaped, and it's a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Whether you want the Performance 4.0 package or any of those great items individually, this code works for you, and you can get 20% off. The Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. I'm blown away by its performance and its craftsmanship. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade, not to cut you, but reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, and also has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for your most precise shaves. Because it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower and say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. You thought that was good, but Manscaped wants to take your grooming game even further with the new Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. It's also waterproof and provides the same proprietary skin-safe technology to help reduce nicks and snags in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver below-the-waist deodorant and the Crop Reviver toner will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. And Manscaped even throws in two free gifts for you in their Performance 4.0 package, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. It's time to take care of yourself and take your comfort to the next level. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping using the code TOOLSHED.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's head over to the National League now. And what better place to start than the man that has more hype than anybody out in the Arizona Fall League right now, Mr. Matt the Masher, or what they call him, Matt?
Mash.
Just call him Mash, yeah. Mash Mervis, which is actually a great nickname. But he is, just, his 2022 in totality has been absolutely phenomenal. After hitting 309, 379, 606 with 40 doubles and 36 home runs between high A, double A, and triple A, he's now up to 6 home runs, which is tied for the league lead out there in the AFL. Hit one in the Fall Stars game as well, an opposite field tank, which probably, I didn't get the data on it, but it was probably, I'll say 420 to left center off a submarine sidearm righty. I think he hung a slider that Mervis just creamed out there. So I was joking. If you, I have the video up on my Twitter feed. If you listen to the audio, you'll hear me and Spora yelling, but I think I yelled something along the lines of that just put his ADP up another 20 spots because his ADP has been on the rise in a hurry. For example, there was a DC that both Chris and I were in Saturday afternoon before the Derby, and our good buddy Justin Mason took him with the first pick in the 16th round. So that is pick 226 overall. It's probably going to be top 200 pretty soon, especially if he has a hot spring training. So I don't know, Chris. I like Mervis. I like him a good amount. He's top 75 overall for me in terms of my prospect rankings. But man, I don't know if I think this now might be a good time to maybe sell or at least see what you can get for offers with how I'm not saying get rid of him. I believe in him, but man, to see what you can get for offers because the hype is ridiculous right now.
Yep. He's got all of the hype right now. And I would be 100% on board with trading him if I could. I mean, there's no chance I'm paying a top 200 ADP for him in redraft. It's just not happening. I don't know. The hype is too much. I take him where he was going, like over the first couple DCs, like 350 range, but no chance I'm paying a top 200 price for him. We don't even know if this guy's the first baseman for the Cubs. And yes, he is interesting. Yes, he has good power, but I don't know. It's at the end of the day, we've seen 1 year of dominance. And yes, we've talked about before how a lot of it was out of his control with the no 2020 season, etc. I like Matt Mervis, but he is way too much hype and a prime sell candidate in my book.
Yeah, when I see that ADP creeping up and I just can't get behind it. I mean, I'm with you. I was liking where his value was, but now it's gotten to the point where it's gotten to unrealistic expectations. Like, you're now giving such a small chance at a positive ROI with a near top 200. And he went even higher. There was two DCs at the same time going on Saturday afternoon. I think he went like, you know, 205, 210 or something like that. Yeah. And the other ones, he went even higher than Justin took him in this league. And I don't necessarily fault Justin for it. I think it was fine with his team construction and he needed a corner infield bat. But same time, like I took Torque, I think 40 to 50 picks later. Cassis went about 40 to 50 picks later. So I'd rather take a chance on those guys there than Mervis top 200. So, yeah, like I said, I think there's a good bat here. I think there's 260, 270-ish hitter, 25, 30 home runs. I think he's going to play. I think there's a chance for potentially an impact bat. But, man, right away, this is, you know, if you're drafting him that high or evaluating him that high for Dynasty, I think it's, you know, you got to take a step back here and let's not go overboard with him. And I think that's where it is right now. It's overboard with Matt Mervis. So, like I said, I'm not saying to get rid of him. I'm not saying I don't believe in him, but definitely, like, this is, I've said it so many times over the years with my analysis, both in on here, articles, that he falls into one of those three ideal times to sell, which is when the hype gets so out of control when the performance is there right before he's scheduled to debut in the major leagues, that you can get a pretty good return on him. So again, don't get rid of him, but just see what you can get. You know, put him on the trade block, you know, put a message out to your league, however your league communicates for, you know, stuff like this, and just see what you can get. So you might get a pretty good return on him. Moving on to Jackson Merrill. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of positive talk about Jackson Merrill out in the Arizona Fall League as well. And he's had a pretty good showing out there. You know, the numbers don't wow you, but there's a lot of hits. You know, he's kind of cooled off lately, averages down to 259. But overall, I can see why there's a good amount of hype on him. But similarly, I hate that word, to Matt Mervis, I think the hype has gotten to a point where it's a bit out of control right now. Like I said, there's a solid prospect here. Like, I think he's a guy that, you know, could be ranked back end top 100, but I know the data is good on him, which I've seen, but man, I think now is a good time to sell high in Jackson Merrill. Again, I don't think he's bad. I think he's going to be a pretty solid player, but I just don't know if I see a high impact fantasy guy. He might be one of those better real life than fantasy guys, but what are your thoughts on Jackson Merrill, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair because one, he just hits the ball on the ground far too often. It's going to be, I mean, he's got to make some swing tweaks to lift the ball more consistently. So that's obviously a question mark, but at the same time, like, he's capable of hitting the ball hard, but we haven't really seen it translate to game power yet. While he's just 19, there's still time. He's got a projectable frame. I think that's what we're kind of basing it on. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not willing to go overboard on Merrill. I don't know how much he'll run either. I think that's a question mark. And for fantasy purposes, I think back in top 100 is fair, but it seems like the hype has gone well beyond that. So I am open to selling if possible, just because there's a lot of hype around that name right now, and I'm not sure it warrants going beyond like back in top 100 at this point.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Keeping it in the National League Central, let's go over to the St. Louis Cardinals. We saw their three top prospects are all up there: Jordan Walker, Tink Hentz, and Mason Winn. Jordan Walker, he came as advertised, almost had two home runs out there. One of the falls, oh, he's had home runs, I'm saying, and while we were out there, I should say. One of the, I think that was the first night game. Was it the first night game we saw Walker? Chris, was the second day?
That was the second day. He didn't play. He went in that lineup the first
All night. Right. That's right. Yeah, he was in the lineup. But that first game, it was cold. It was very cold that day. Yep. Oh, yeah, that was the game at Sloan, wasn't it?
Yep, that was. Yes. Thursday night. Yep.
That was like, what, high 40s at that point in time?
It was cold.
He cranked one just right of dead straightaway center that I'm sure if it was 20 degrees warmer, it would have been out. Then he had one opposite field. He almost had two in the Fall Stars game that he went sent to the track, one that everyone thought was out, which even you saw he was slow trotting, and then he had to hustle when it hit on the warning track, and even the right fielder lost sight of it. And then he almost took Tink Hentz yard to end the game. And yes, I didn't stutter there. I didn't say the name wrong. The AL ran out of pitchers. So Tink Hentz came in to face Jordan Walker, which was really fun to end the Fall Stars game. But Walker came as advertised. I am so impressed with this guy. It's easy for him. And like I mentioned when I was out there, I think he could be like 95% of J-Rod. I think there's a lot of obviously – you know, I'm not breaking any news here. We all know what Jordan Walker is, but he passed the eye test for a guy that's going to be an absolute stud in the major league. So I feel confident in saying that he's probably going to be the number one fantasy guy as soon as mid-April when Carroll and Gunnar graduate.
Yeah, I mean, his swing is easy. The power comes naturally. He doesn't try to kill the ball. He moves well. I mean, he's massive, but he does move well for his size too, which is always good to see. We saw him in right field and in center field. He made a great catch out in right. I thought he moved well in center. Yeah, he's not going to be in center, so that's not an issue. But I do think that he's capable of playing right, and I think that the Cardinals, if he has a good spring training, start him out pretty early in the majors. I'm not sure what else there is to prove at this point. So,
Yeah, no, same here. And then we can talk about the rookie draft that we are both in. Now that we already had the panel, and Walker went, I believe it was the there was only eight teams. He went on that first round, second round turn to I believe it was Christopher Crawford from NBC Sports Edge. So he went pick eight overall in that. And yeah, Walker spent the entire year at Double A, and yeah, I think he gets Triple A. And if he's, you know, doing Jordan Walker things in Triple A, he's probably gonna be up soon. And I wouldn't be worried about the, you know, how things went this year with St. Louis, because obviously they have a lot of names that are all pretty solid bats that they've been trying to get in the lineup. Walker will force his way into that lineup. When he's ready, he's not going to be up there, you know, getting a short leash or anything like that. He will be given a long leash to, you know, do his thing. And yeah, he checks off all the boxes. I think he's going to be, you know, 280 hitter. Now, I don't think 300. There's a little bit of swing and miss to his game. Not a ton, but I think more like 280-ish, give or take a little bit either way. 30-plus home runs. You know, I think maybe not 20-steal guy, which he's been in the minor leagues, but more like, you know, 12 to 15 in that range, and maybe more. That's what I said about J-Rod. He exceeded my expectations there. So, though I think J-Rod's got a little bit more speed than Walker does, but 15-steal guy, 30-plus bombs, good average, good OBP. A lot of run production. He said be an absolute stud. As for Tink Hens, we only saw him in short bursts. I saw him pitch to one batter, just which was Walker, in the Fall Stars game. And then we saw an inning of him earlier. I believe that was in that Thursday night game, which was cold. But yeah, he's just throwing short stints. Curveball is so damn good with Hens. But what were your thoughts on Tink Hens? I know it was a short look at him, but what were your thoughts on Hens?
Yeah, he was impressive. Obviously, they can see a lot. The velo kind of ticked up as it went on. He's been in relief, as we've said, just inning stints at a time. By the end of the inning, he was up to 90. I think he hit 94, which was well below what he averaged during the season, but not really to be concerning there. The breaking ball was nasty that we got to see, and he just looked really good overall. He's small, but very athletic delivery. Checks a lot of boxes, and I would have loved to have seen him in a, you know, longer start, longer sample, but still, I really liked Tink Hens. You can see every pitch that he threw on our YouTube channel.
Yep, absolutely. There was a video up there of that. And yeah, I think he's in that, he's put himself into that second tier, or the back end of the second tier, you know, behind guys like, you know, the Yuri Perez's, the Gavin Williams, Taj Bradley. He's right around Bradley Harrison in my rankings. I think he's my SP, I think 8 or 9 right now in my rankings, and definitely has that potential to move up. And he's a little bit on the smaller side, but elite arm speed. And I'm wondering if the gun was a little low, because, you know, it looked like he was throwing harder than that. He wasn't doing his usual velocity. I think he was kind of dialing it back a little bit. But yeah, he's going to be an absolute stud. And I trust a lot of what St. Louis has done with pitching prospects. They're a good development organization in general. So yeah, I'm 100% buying into what we saw from Hens this year, and he's still very young. Too, like, he just turned 20 like a month or two ago. So to get where he got and do what he did this year, and then next year he's a get up to, you know, where we have Tiedemann and Painter, and, you know, maybe even up top 20. You know, I think he's got number one pitching prospect upside. We'll see. There's a lot of guys that are very exciting right now, but he's definitely putting himself into that mix. Lastly, Mason Winn. You know, he had a couple singles we saw, didn't really do a ton. You know, he had an absolute cannon from short. It was, I forget who hit it. It was a decent runner. Hit it to his, he took a couple steps to his left towards third base, bobbled it a little bit, but just picked it up, threw an absolute hose. I wish I got it on video, but I didn't. So obviously, that doesn't matter. Everyone's like, why are you talking about that? Doesn't matter. Fantasy, but this is fun to see. But Mason Winn's another one where I wonder if we went a little too high on win and rankings. Like, solid hit tool there, good speed, but where is the power with him? So I don't know. He didn't impact the ball a lot. I'm not trying to make it, you know, a big assessment off of only a few live looks, but he's one where I don't know. Is he top 50? Maybe should be more, I don't know, top 75. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the one thing that we can check for sure is the speed. Yeah, we clocked him on a bang bang play at 407, which is 70 grade. So he's lightning fast. Man, he's swung and missed at some bad pitches, just chasing curves out of the zone, like ugly swings quite often. And again, don't overreact, but it is going to be in the back of my head. maybe we did go too high on him. I'd like to see where the power is, and I'd like to see him be able to hit consistently, you know, against breaking balls, and we haven't really seen that. Overall, I mean, he's still got a 300 average in the fall league, 417 WP, but no power at all to speak of, which is a bit concerning. Again, I want to see the power come. No questioning the speed, no questioning the glove and the arm at short, but can he hit breaking balls and can he hit for power is what I want to see moving forward.
So I feel like we're describing not exactly, but pretty similar to all of the questions, the strengths, the weaknesses that Zach Veen has, who's another guy we have on our list here. So we might just lump him into this discussion because obviously, and we talked about Veen, you know, recently, but how his profile has really transformed. And we were talking with our good buddy Chris Welsh a bit about this. So we were hanging out with him. He lives out there. And, you know, obviously the speed, well, as a pure runner, wins faster. But Veen is just not slowing down. Yeah, he got caught a bit when he went up to double A. But I think this is a 25 steal guy at this point, which is not anything close to what I thought he'd be back when he was drafted a couple years ago. But at the same time, and he's hitting well out there too, sitting for a high average over 300 out there. But where's the power? Power has not been there. And I heard talks to people that kind of questioned if he ever does put on that good weight that you want to see. He's still pretty lank, a little bit on the lankier side, not really skinny, but has some projection left. But does he ever do it? He's kind of had the same body now as he did when he was drafted a couple of years ago. So you wonder, where's the power with Veen? And you know, I think there's more power than with Wynn. So I have, I think I'm going to have Veen ranked ahead of Wynn, but just where is Veen at right now? He's a hard one to rank, Chris.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I think that he's sacrificed some of his, you know, ability to get raw power for contact. He has shown the capabilities to make that consistent contact. And I was encouraged by a lot of what we saw from him. But at the end of the day, you have to wonder, like, what kind of power does he develop into? And, man, that discourages me a bit. I don't know how much he runs in the majors. Yeah, I mean, he's instinctive on the base pass. He's not the fastest, but he does get big strides. He's got long legs. I thought he would have filled out the frame a little more at this point, but he hasn't. And that kind of leads me to wonder, like, you know, where the power will be with Veen. But at the end of the day, he's still making good contact. He's still in a lot of bases with ease at that, just because he gets good jumps. He reads the pitcher well, and that's been encouraging. So maybe Veen, if worst case, Veen's a 15 home run bat, you can still hang your hat on the fact that he could steal, I think, 20, 25 bases.
Yep.
And then he could hit for a decent average, especially in Coors Field. I like the bat to ball skills, how that's developed, and maybe the power's last thing to come. I still think that there's some room in the frame, but he's not filled out like I thought he would at this point.
Yeah, same. Like I said, I think he's basically the same as he was when he was drafted 2 years ago. He was during the COVID year. So I don't know. I mean, there's been some improvements. The approach has always been solid. Walk rate is over 10. It's about 12.5 or so percent. For his career, he trimmed the K rate down to a very manageable 22.5%. This year, though, it did go up a bit. That 22.5% in high A went up a little bit in double A. He didn't perform very well in double A. 177, 262, 234 slug. Overall this year, 384 slug with a 139 ISO, which is terrible. But I thought this guy was going to be a 30 homer bat, especially at Coors. And now I'm questioning that. So he's so hard to rank. Still top 50 for me. I think I might have bumped him down too much. I'll probably have him like at 35-ish range because if he can get that power back up, like we've seen him, he's probably a 50 grade hitter. He's probably gonna hit, you know, which the neutral park is probably like a 260-ish hitter. I think he'll be like 270, 275 with that little Babbitt boost. There we go. From Coors Field. And you had 15 home run, 20 plus steal. That's still a very valuable bat. So I'm going to bump him back up a little bit in that mid-30s range, but that's something I really want to see. Yeah, probably start back out at AA next year. He's still only 20 years old. He'll be 21. When does he turn 21? He turns 21 in about a month from now. So 21, probably starts at AA again next year. I think this would be a very telling year for Veen as to what he's going to be, if that power comes next year, if he's still stealing in Double A, had 5 steals and 10 attempts in 34 games there to end the year in Hartford. So we'll see. But I'm still confident in Veen, but I just want to see where that power is at next year. So I mean, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on early on in the season. Let's go over to back to the NL Central for a couple of Reds here. Noelvi Marte and Matt McClain. Man, McClain, he was so aggressive, Chris. Like, he was swinging at, he's like almost like the polar opposite of Edouard Julian, where he was swinging at everything, and he's had some cages in the minor leagues. I mean, I like the, you know, the nice little power speed blend. He's a smaller guy, but you know, quick bat, can drive the ball, sneaky pop. But I wonder if that approach is going to get exploited more and more as he climbs the ranks towards the major leagues.
Possible. And he was a little bit underwhelming. Just didn't see a lot of contact like I wanted to. His contact rates aren't good in general.
Yeah.
And the pitching, with it being not so great out there, as you thought, he's one that could have taken advantage of it. But he hasn't so far. And he was just uninspiring. He's a little small. Like, he just doesn't look big at all. And so you question, like, what kind of power he can get to. Striking out a lot. He is walking some, too, but he just gets too deep in those counts. And, you know, I'm kind of questioning, like, what Matt McClain's role will look like long-term. Because we saw him bounce up to Double-A this year, and he really struggled. Didn't get to much power at all. He struck out a ton, pushed it 232 average. I'm just a little underwhelmed by Matt McClain. I don't think he's a top 100 prospect for me.
Yeah, he's a guy that was kind of that 80 to 90-ish range. But, yeah, I think I'm going to bump him out. I just don't think – like I said, there's a good little power-speed blend there, and I like it. But does he ever fully get to it and fully unlock it in games? Because I think hit tool is – it's not where people thought it would be. Like, this is a guy that was revered for his hit tool, you know, coming out of UCLA. He's kind of – actually was thought of as one of those kind of boring guys that – you know, with hit tool first and lacked, you know, big time power and speed, but he's kind of similar to Veen, you know, in the sense that his profile has shifted a good amount since that draft. And I believe, yeah, he was in the same, no, he was a year after Veen, but he's not that high hit tool guy. I think maybe he'll be 50 hit. I don't know, but he hasn't shown that. You mentioned, Chris, he hit 232 this year in Double A. And he's hit 167 out there in the fall in 84 plate appearances. A K rate, when you combine the two, 28.2%. Walks a good amount, but I don't know. I kind of agree. I don't think he's 100, but I don't know. I want to still believe because of that power speed, but he's way too aggressive from what I've seen. So I'm starting to kind of cool my liking of him. And then Noelvi, on the other hand, is another one that's hard to rank right now. Like, we're talking with Welsh again about how, you know, Noelvi's gotten a lot bigger. Like, he's not going to be shortstop. This is a third baseman, maybe even like a corner outfield frame that he hasn't really learned how to use yet. It's like, he was very awkward there. I question where the speed's at long-term with him. I think there's still potential with 30 home runs if he kind of learns his frame better next year. With all this, you know, this new added bulk, which has been good. It doesn't have a bad frame. It's just bigger, stronger. It hasn't really adjusted to it. So I still think there's a potential for 30-homer bat and the solid hit tool. But if you're looking for a big-time speed guy, I don't think that's going to be it. Maybe 10-12 in that range. But he's another guy that I'm having a hard time ranking right now.
He's huge, yeah. I think he grew too fast for his body.
Absolutely.
I say he bulked up too fast for his size. And in doing that, like, he slowed down the swing a bit, and it just seems like he's a bit uncomfortable in his body. And not to say that that can't change, but it is certainly something to watch with him. And, you know, he really did nothing to stand out in our looks. And I was certainly hoping to see a bit more, especially after I thought he was a bit uninspiring this year. I mean, he was fine after his trade to Cincinnati, but he was still in high A. Again, we're talking about somebody that just turned 21 mid-October. So after the Fall Stars, the Fall League started. So still young, but at the same time, like, I have to really wonder, like, what the projection looks like. I really wanted to see him get to more power. He has just a 313 slug in the Fall League, which is a huge hitter's environment. Walk to strikeout rate's fine. 12 walks, 12 strikeouts in the AFL. But again, I'm a bit concerned. I won't be lying to you if I said I wasn't. And I said at the beginning of the episode not to make many overreactions, but I might be overreacting a bit to Noelvi Marte, where he's might be more back in top 50 than top 25 for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I want to put him to right now. Oh, where do I have him right now? I can't seem to find him. I have him 22 right now, but because I don't know, I still am trying to figure out what I project him as. And I still think there's a good bat there. I think potential 50 or me, I don't know if I'll say 55 hit, but I think he could be 50 hit, 60 power, maybe like 50 speed, like a 5.65 profile. So I still think he's a top 25 guy for now, but I think there's going to be a lot of fluctuation, both, you know, whether it be positively or negatively, early on next year. Like, if he comes out and it's kind of underwhelming, I think you're going to see him drop pretty, you know, even outside the top 50. But if he comes out next year and, you know, starts showing what we all think he's capable of doing, potentially, I think he could be back up in the top 20. We'll see. I don't think he's ever going to be back to top 10, where a lot of us had him ranked, myself included. But it's another one where I'm going to be keeping a close eye on him early on, even this training and early on next year. He'll probably be a double A to start next year. All right. We got a few more names on the list here. Another one that I'm kind of concerned with, and a guy that's had a good amount of hype. We mentioned his name earlier, Thighmaster, Davison De Los Santos. Love the power. This is easy plus, maybe even double plus raw power. Still, he was the youngest one out there. He's not even 19 and a half years old yet. So I'm not, you know, not faulting him for his underwhelming performance, but he confirmed what we saw in his stats this year, where he's way, way, way too aggressive, doesn't walk enough, K's too much, good pop, but he's not a guy that adds like a ton of speed, and I don't think he ever will. So that bat has to be there, both in terms of, you know, get average, getting on base. And he got 306 this year, so you probably think I'm crazy, but I wonder if this is going to be a guy that gets as exposed in the higher levels as he climbs up the ladder. So he's a guy where I'm also wondering if I had him ranked too high.
Yeah, I think I went too high on him too. He's one, I don't think he has a position in the field. I don't think he's even played in first base and didn't look great. But the bat, yeah, in the home run derby, he was awesome. He was so fun. Yep. I mean, he hit one. We were out there in the outfield, and the berm is pretty big out there, like the whole grassy area. And then out in left field, like behind there, there's like a covered walkway and there's like a second story building. And he put one like on that roof and it bounced back. Like it was, I don't know how far it went, but I would have guessed 450 if I was just guessing. Oh, I mean, yeah. He pounded it. And yeah, he can hit the ball hard, but he just doesn't hit the ball consistent enough. And at the end of the day, I think that I'm not sure that he's an everyday player. And he's got a lot to work on as he continues to move up the ladder. And if there's anybody that I drop really far after this, it's probably him. Reports aren't good. Just doesn't look great at the plate. And so I feel like we're just being negative on these guys, which I hate, but I don't know. I'm probably going to drop Davison pretty significant because I went pretty high on him last update. Some good reports, good numbers, and I'm just not really feeling it after seeing him. And I don't want to overreact too much, but I just don't have a good feeling about him.
Yeah, I've dropped him too. He was 103 last on-site update. I currently have him 132. Where are you feeling? I know you probably haven't made the move yet, but where are you feeling? Like, give me a range here. Where do you think he's going to end up?
Probably 150 or 200.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, he needs to, so it's not a big speed element here. And like I said, I don't see this body aging well. It's not a bad body, but it won't age to the point where he's not going to ever really add speed. So like I said, he needs the bat to be fully there, not just power. And yeah, this guy's already striking out way too much. And again, young for this league, young for where he was at during the season. So you know, factor that in. Can't be too negative on you know, that approach, but it is so aggressive, and he needs to that to be better. He needs to adjust that. He needs to make those changes a little more. Man, if we could find that middle ground between him and Edouard Julien, that'd be phenomenal.
Yep,
but combine the two of them, take Davison's power with Julien's approach, man, you'll have a, you know, all-star caliber hitter there. That's for sure. All right. A few more names real quick. You know, hit quickly here as we get near the end of the show. Some more National League West guys, Luis Matos, Carson Wisenhunt. Again, we didn't see a lot. Wisenhunt only went one inning, right, Chris? So we
saw he went 1 2/3 where he gave him a monster bomb. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he didn't look the greatest, but overall, you know, has been a lot of positive things said about Wisenhunt. And we didn't really see a lot of Matos. I just want to mention him that I still 100% believe he's by low. You saw him kind of pick up, you know, the performance later in the year. He was, you know, injured earlier on in the season. So definitely a buy low on Matos. But where are you at on Wisenhunt? Are you buying, even though he didn't look the greatest in our look, are you buying that, that he should be moving up rank now?
I'm not sure moving up is the way I'd go. But while there was a lot of bad in his start, like it wasn't terrible. I think the second batter of the game, he walked the first two, and then he kind of settled in after that. He did strike out two in 1 2/3. He finished with 8 swinging strikes, 5 called strikes. He flashed the changeup, which is a really good pitch. A fastball sits in 91 to 93. The breaking ball, like I don't want to see consistent breaking ball, and I didn't really see that. And while the changeup was good, it was the one that Javon Ward hit a mile. It was a left-on-left matchup. It was not. It was a matchup that he should have won, but Ward dominated it. And I don't know. He had 8 swinging strikes, 5 called strikes on 42 pitches. So you take it for what it's worth. It was a one-start sample. It was a cold night. I don't know. Like, he's one that I'm not going to overreact to because overall the reports have been really good on him from the AFL. But on the flip side, he's one that is going to require a lot of work, I think, just because of a lot of missed time. He had the suspension last year where he suspended for PEDs from NCAA. He pitched on the Cape this summer and was all right. He wasn't great, but not enough innings to really say. So you can look at the numbers. You're probably uninspired, but I'm willing to give him a bit of a pass until we see what he can do. I think Wisenhunt's a really solid two-pitch guy, but I really need to see a breaker, a fastball changeup. It's just uninspiring when the fastball is not like a blowaway pitch there. So I'd like to see the curveball be more consistent. And at the end of the day, like, I think that's really going to hinge on what he can do, is if he can get consistent whiffs with a curveball.
You know who he reminds me of? And this is not going to inspire any confidence in anybody outside of who's the big fan of this guy. I think it was Reese Lights. I'm sorry. I apologize if that's not who it was. But Chris Bubich.
Oh, yeah. That was it.
Good. Was it Reese?
Yep, that was Reese.
I'm not calling out Reese. Reese is a great guy. I'm just saying he's always like driving that the Bubich fandom. I think he just likes the guy. But yeah, good changeup, sporadic breaking pitch. You know, so I wasn't that's a top 400 guy. I think I have him 25, 350. I'd have to look. I'm pretty sure he's somewhere in that general vicinity in my rankings. So yeah, he's a guy decent enough, has some potential. But best case, maybe he's a SP4 in major leagues and maybe more of a 5 or even a swing guy. So I won't go crazy on him, but I like him a decent amount. All right, real quick to end the show, trio of Pittsburgh Pirates, Quinn Priester, Henry Davis, Nick Gonzalez. I think I summarized these three in the ceiling. I think I'm starting to be a little lower on these guys, all decent prospects. Again, not saying they're bad. I think this Priester's valued too high. Fast, great. I love the curveball. Changeup has shown some decent movement characteristics, though sporadically. Fastball, decent velocity, but it's just hittable. And Gonzalez can hit a high fastball. He's fed a steady diet of those. And Davis is pretty aggressive as well. I just wonder if I'm just a little lower than probably the average, you know, consensus ranking on them at this point.
I mean, I've been telling people that Nick Gonzalez couldn't hit a high fastball since last summer, summer of 2021, because I saw him. I got crapped on a lot for that take. Like, hardcore because people said, oh, it's just overreaction to a small sample. And it may have been, but like he was so late on like 93 up in the zone, and they attacked him that way over and over and over. And in a sense, like, yeah, I was wrong because he went on a tear after it. Like once Greensboro came through in July, probably I saw him three times, and he was really good the final 2 months, but there was just something about the profile that I just didn't love. And this comp's going to, people are going to hate, but it's Keston Hiura. Like, I just see so much of it there in the profile. And
you're turning out the heartstrings of many out there.
I know. And I hate to do it, but like, I just want to be realistic on the guy. Like, good guy. Like he took time to take pictures with Chris Welsh's kids, which is awesome. Like, signed stuff. Really cool. I'm just concerned about the ability to hit high fastballs because that was my report on him last year. Even this year, it was still a question mark during the season. You know, I know he had some injury stuff, whatever, but still the question. And then every time I saw him, that's all they threw him. Like, he had to know that a high fastball was coming, and he still whiffed every single time. And we're talking about like mediocre fastballs at that. Yeah. And I'm just really concerned of what big league fastballs are going to do to him. He was outside my top 100 already. And God, I just don't know where to rank him. Like, I want to, because I want to keep him where he is because I know the intangibles are there, but it's like he's really got to make an adjustment to get those high fastballs, or I'm just really worried about Nick Gonzalez. Now, Priester, we saw a mixed bag with him in the start. Like, we got 4 good innings out of him. There was some good, there was some bad. Colt Keith hit a monster bomb off of him, and there was some interesting stuff. Like, I think that his slider's a really good pitch, mixes in the curveball some. Fastball and changeup just don't do a lot for me. And they need to show more. Like, I think what he was sitting consistently, what, 93, 94 with the fastball, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I'll have to look back in my book. I've got everything tracked. He had some good swinging strikes. Like, he made some hitters chase. He had a really good at bat against Zach Thien that I'm really going to remember and think about. Like, that's what he's capable of, where he threw Veen nothing but the curve and the changeup. And it was a 4-pitch at bat. Veen bounced out to first base, but he did get 2 really good. Actually, the change was a good called strike on the outside. Really like that. And the curve he dropped in, and Veen had an ugly swing against. So, you know, those were encouraging to see. And I think there could be a really good 4-pitch mix here, but there's just a lot of consistency that we need to see with Priester still. Man, Davis, he had some ugly swings. He got hit by pitch like 3 at bats that we saw him. Like, the ugly swings are going to be what I remember. And to me, like, behind the plate, like, he just looked kind of average, like receiving, throwing. Like, thought that was supposed to be more of his calling card. Like, his arm is good, I'll give him that, but I think behind the plate, he's just okay. Like, I don't know, there wasn't a lot that inspired confidence in me of any of these guys, which was a little bit discouraging.
Yeah, this one, I'm not sure if he's a top 10 fantasy catcher or fantasy catching prospect, because he's behind for me. Alvarez, Endy, Ford, Wells, Soderstrom, whether you want to call him a catcher or not, Cartea, Yiner Diaz, Moreno, Bo Naylor, and Logan Hoppe. So yeah, that's 10. So he's my number 11 catching prospect right in fantasy. He's around, you know, 80 to 85 overall, which I think is fair. I think he's still top 100, but yeah, I wonder. I think there's a decent career for Henry Davis, but I don't think he's going to make a huge impact. Maybe better a high-end C2 for fantasy. Maybe bad in C1. But yeah, I think all these guys right now are, you know, you probably get decent value for in trades, especially probably Davis and Gonzalez. So I'd entertain trading these guys, or at least seeing what you can get. But that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm Eric Cross 04, and our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. Check out all of our written work at FanTrax HQ or over on our Patreon. And of course, check out all of our video over on the FanTrax Toolshed YouTube channel. You can just Google search youtube.com/@FanTrax Toolshed and the new thing they're doing, but that's what it is, the URL. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Asbury, Methodist Village, and Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.